go ahead and lift your hands toward heaven and give praise to the eternal one. Exalt his majesty, extol his holy name. Worship him tonight. Let your thanksgiving rise from your inside like incense to the heights of Zion. There's a place where walls become insufficient. There's a place where even spiritual intelligence becomes insufficient. That's where men cry. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And he was taught how the angels worship. He said, one cries to another. They said, holy. They said, holy. They said, holy. It's a place where wars don't suffice anymore. So we cry. Like the rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like the rain, let it fall. Like fire, like the rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like the rain. Of grace from whence cometh our help. And we ask even tonight, Lord, that you bless us richly with your glory, with your wisdom, with your power. That we may make contact with your true essence. Thank you, precious Redeemer. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. That was Sister Joy Gona. She is such a blessing. You see, when God begins to activate the protocol of revival, there are very well defined strategic spiritual infrastructures that God puts in place in order to orchestrate the weight of revival. One of those dimensions of God that comes to play is the wisdom of sound. You know, the Bible said they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and then the Holy Ghost visited the earth. That sound was not a melody. It was a system in the spirit that carried the weight and the power of revival. It fell upon the people. And cloven tongues as of fire came with the sound. Sound is deeper than melody. It's an intelligence of the divine. So I told us sometimes we find ourselves chanting in the Holy Ghost. What it creates in the spirit is a system of resonance. It's called the ground of Mahanaim. Where the heavenlies and the natural realm fuse into one. So that the possibilities that are obtainable in the divine can find expression in time. So when you hear sounds, it's important to sustain the intelligence that is required to decipher the purpose of that sound. Why should minister in the morning? The first part of my message began to download into my spirit. the things I did not come with in my note. So I realized that this one has the mark of the hunter. When people are factored into a move of God, there are very well defined spiritual possibilities that works on their inside. He gave expression and direction to my message. Scriptures I read for many years, strange wisdom began to come, because there was somebody that could host a possibility of wisdom through the mechanism of sound. That's where you appreciate sound beyond voice, because you can discern what God is doing through that sound. It's a vehicle of spiritual possibilities. Celebrate God's servant, Sister Joy Gona. Some of you will leave this meeting and you will discover that strange dimensions of the spirit that you did not have faith for will begin to find expression in your life. You did not know that what the sound he was generating did for you was to bring you to a portal in the spirit, to stand in a place where those dimensions find expression. Elijah did not operate in power because he was the tank of power. He said, before God, whom I stand. There was a location in the spirit where he found himself, and on the strength of that location, he could move the hand of God. You will leave this meeting and you will discover that your spiritual geography has been altered. You have journeyed into a place in God because of the resonance that the sounds that you heard over this weekend have created in your spirit. God bless you. Thank you for being a blessing. Sister Joy Cole, can you imagine? While we were worshiping the Lord, my brothers just walked into the building. Glory to God. I don't know if I have the clearance to divulge his identity, but these ones, they are hosts of spiritual possibilities. There are people that you make contact with and you touch the texture and the essence of the Christos. God has worked himself into them so much that everywhere they come, give expression to the life of Jesus. And tonight, God is going to bless some people tonight that is going to be ministering to you, either by talking to you, by laying hands on you. It will change your life forever. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 8, he said, for that we loved you, we were affectionately desirous of you. He said, we did not only impart unto you the gospel, but the very substance of our soul. The reason we get to certain people to impart us is not necessarily because we want an activation of spiritual possibility. We just want the life of Christ that has been breathed into their soul on account of dealing. We have men with us tonight that the Lord has walked. Celebrate Pastor Ike and his friend. You know, he shouldn't sit at the back, but if I say come here now, this meeting will end. Because if he had his way, he would have hid at the back. God bless you, sir. Thank you for honoring us tonight with your presence. Thank you very much, sir, for coming. It's such a great honor to see you. Seeing you alone has lit my spirit. Glory to God. And I came with my friend all the way from Makurdi. He's an intercessor. Have you prayed in tongues for 18 hours before standing? And I'm not saying praying under your breath. Praying at high volume for 18 hours. If you can, that one, your discipline can't take you there. That one has to be an immortal operation. Or by praying in tongues for 18 hours. Don't worry. I told him that tonight, he will be the one to wield the scepter of power. I've been inviting you from the first day this morning, but this night we pray. I didn't come this night to teach. By the grace of God, we have established certain parameters and coordinates that gives perspective to what God has in mind as touching alignment. But we need people to engage the spirit realm literally so that they can enter. And my brother, I don't know if I should call him. We came here now, they say you are a prophet.
I don't know what it's all. It's where we give God the glory. So he's going to be opening the heavens. I know you pray in the east. I know you pray in the east. But there is a scepter for prayer. There are few people that hold it. It's one of them. There is age in grace. I've told you before. Okay, will lead us in prayer this evening for 40 minutes. After I give a charge for about 20 minutes or so. It'll just be like a recap. And then we'll pray before we begin the impartation. Thank God, God's servants are here, generals of the Lord. They are here with us, so the impartation will be easy. We'll just minister to people as we are led. Can you celebrate my dear brother, Pastor Samuel Cosmos? All the way from the north. He has come to open a hall. It's a great honor to have you do the work that you do for the body of Christ. I'm happy that I'm a part of what you're doing. It's a great honor. I don't take it for granted. Glory to God. My dear brother Shadrach is here with us this evening. He's a rabbi. These ones, you know, we are not so much of teachers. We just come and we pour burdens on people to set them on fire. These are the ones that set the coordinate so that you can be disciples. We are not teachers. But there are rabbis that God has given the grace to open scriptures. And we celebrate the grace of God upon his life so dearly. We have people come from Newi, from Oka, from the left. Thank you for coming. We love you. God bless you so much. My brother and friend Tosin also came from Newi. He's a territorial commander. You know the beautiful thing about this revival? There will be faceless people. You will see somebody and say, what can this one do? If you mean this one like this, we do something. Then when it begins to release its dimensions, then you will repent first. How on earth can people like us be on the microphone for God's sake? Look at the way we don't even look like preachers. Lift your hands toward heaven and appreciate God one more minute.
Becomes his operating system.
To help us in this meeting by revealing certain truths to us. I told us when we talk about alignment, then we have come to a point where we want to gain accurate perspective as to the dealings and the operation of the Holy Ghost as touching the people that have decided to call upon His name. It's not enough to desire to be used of God. There are well-defined systems of the Spirit that you must make contact with to inform the protocol of your interaction with God. And it's on this wise that we decided to look at the subject of alignment. And from the first day of the meeting, in order to fully have a grasp of what alignment is, the Lord began to show us that is one thing to have an understanding of spiritual possibilities, but it's entirely a different thing to walk in its experience. He said concerning Jesus that He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Himself was aware. In fact, in John chapter 9 verse 5, Jesus said, "So long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He was not oblivious to the fact that humanity dwelt in darkness, and part of the operation consistent with His coming is to bring illumination to dark and fallen humanity. But it was not enough that Jesus knew He was the light. The Bible told us that He had to submit Himself to the government of the Holy Spirit, who led Him into the wilderness. He first of all passed the test of righteousness when He was led to submit to John. He said, "Suffer it to be so for now. Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." I looked at the scripture and I began to wonder, how can Creator bow before creation? It's a protocol that brings a system of alignment to the soul, where man can yield to the demands in the heart of the Father in order to sustain the requisite capacity to mirror His dimensions. So Creator had to go under the authority of creation. John Himself realized. He said, "You are the one to baptize me. I'm not qualified to unloose the latchet of your sandal." But He said, "Suffer it to be so for now." Jesus is not violating the law of blessings, because He said, without every contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So it was not a bid to violate the laws of the Spirit. But He said, "Suffer it to be so for now." There is an alignment requirement that the Son of Man must go through in order to become light. And then He was led to the wilderness to pass the test of the devil. And in order to pass the test, He had to wait in prayer and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And in John 4:3, the Bible said, afterwards He was anhungered. He needed to prepare the spirit and to destroy the powers of flesh so that He would be qualified to pass His spiritual test. The devil came and discovered that this one is not a mortal man. And when that demand of alignment was fulfilled, when He returned, the Bible said in Matthew 4:16 that the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, He said, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. He was announced to be the light of the world. The doctrine was accurate, the knowledge was imparted, but the experience was subject to the protocol of alignment. It's not enough to know you are a prophet. It's not enough to know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can understand doctrine, and therefore your mind can be in sync with the mind of God. But in order to walk in it, there is an obedience portal that must be fulfilled as you come under the government of the Holy Spirit. That is when righteousness can become a manifestation of your reality. I said, when the devil comes to check you out, he will not check out what you know. He will check out the degree of your transformation. And the proof that you have known a reality is the extent of transformation. Doctrine, very important. It brings harmony to the mind. As for I thought. But there is obedience required in order to bring the harmony of the spirit. There are many believers that do not satisfy the quota of obedience. So we said, in order for us to walk in the fullness of our possibilities in God, that two must be together. So Paul wrote the book of Romans. Romans 1 to 8 tells everyone who is a Gentile is on the strength of what God did. And then Romans 9 to 11, referring directly to the Jews, told them how the promises have been fulfilled to walk in the fullness of new life. But when it came to verse 12, chapter 12, he said, therefore. What is therefore? It means what I'm about to reveal to you is built on the revelation that is from chapter 1 to chapter 11. And he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, daring is your reasonable service. And then he said, be not conformed to this world, but be a transformed by the renewal of your mind. So the revelation that you get from the accurate teaching of the word brings about mental alignment. But the yieldedness to the government of the Holy Ghost brings you into the experience of the realities that you have in your mind. These were the foundations of our teachings. And we said, when this is achieved, then certain possibilities begins to happen in the life of a man. And we said the first thing that happens is that the man journeys from the womb of mortality into the womb of immortality. When you look at that man, his life becomes an expression of realities that are only obtainable in the realm of God. So he said in Isaiah 40:28, he said, have you not heard? Has it not been told unto you that the everlasting God fainted not, neither is he weary? That means the ability not to deflate in essence is only domiciled with the El Shaddai. But he said something. He said, when your alignment is achieved, then something happens. He said, you will run, you will not be weary. You will walk, you will not faint. What is he telling you? There is a possibility in humanity where man can sustain possibilities that are obtainable in the divine. So we said alignment is to give expression to immortality in the mortal vessel. We went further to say alignment is a journey into spiritual fraternity, where you walk into the womb of the spirit and you can have oneness, koinonia, with the spirit of God and the spirit of just men made perfect. So we saw in Matthew chapter 17 verse 2 how that Jesus carried few of his disciples, and as he prayed, what the prayer did was to alter the fashion of his countenance. He said the fashion of his countenance was altered. Even his raiment began to blister. But that was not alignment. What brought about fraternity was his assignment in Jerusalem. Because he said when Moses and Elias appeared, they spake with him on what he should do in Jerusalem. So we said alignment brings us to a point of spiritual fraternity. That's when encounter with God becomes a natural disposition of a believer. Encounters are not stories of Bible. They are life of men that walk with God. And we said alignment also brings us to an energy level in the spirit where we receive the instructions for our destiny. There are many believers who are confused. They don't know what God will have them do, because they have not journeyed enough to where the handwriting of their ordination is visible. There's an energy level in God that a man gets to, and who and what he should be is no longer a mystery. In Luke 1:8, the Bible said John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. And when John came, they said, "Who are you?" He never said, "I am John." He said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness." The man had discovered who he was. They said, "Why are you baptizing?" He said, "The one that sent me, the same, said unto me, where did he receive all this instruction? When he journeyed into the spirit and stayed until alignment was achieved." So for John, his identity was consistent with the voice of his ordination. For John, his ministry was consistent with the strategy of heaven. He didn't come to do what others are doing. Because service is always on Sunday. Every church meets on Sunday. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about a man that received the strategy. That's why in this apostolic move where people are able to touch God, you find out that some people's ministry is only vigils. It's no longer consistent with the norm. They have received a strategy. My friend, Tosun's ministry is only vigils. They only do vigil. You will ask yourself, who will come for vigil? But if you will fulfill the quota of your ordination, then you must receive the heavenly strategy. John had to stay until the strategy was given to him. And the location of his ministry was also given to him. It was on the strength of that I told you, men are called, but their calling is to be with God. Nobody is called into the world. Men are only sent into the world. In Mark 3:14, he said he called them to be with him, that he might send them. A man who is not with the Lord cannot receive the instruction of his destiny. And until the instructions of destiny are received, there is no sending. And that is why we said alignment brings you to the point where you receive the instructions of your destiny. And we went ahead to speak. That in order to be able to touch God sufficiently to receive this well-defined instruction, you must pursue God himself, not the things in the spirit realm. So I told you how that Mary Magdalene, in John chapter 20, verse 3 to 16, she came with the disciples. They saw linen clothes and they were satisfied. Mary was not satisfied. She saw two angels. You will think she has seen angels, she will be satisfied. She was not satisfied. Because alignment ends when oneness is achieved with the Messiah. God is the focus of our spiritual pursuit. When she saw the Lord, then her soul knew satisfaction. He said, "Mary." And she turned and said, "Rabboni." That was why the apostles knew that they needed to wait in Jerusalem. That was why she became the first custodian of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that I am risen." It was Mary Magdalene that told the world that we are no longer servants, but we are sons. He said, "Go and tell them that I go to my Father and their Father." So the reason you can call God Father today is because of the message of Mary Magdalene. Because she waited for Jesus. Many of us see light and then we jump to tell the whole world that we have seen light. That's why you see many prophets who see in the spirit, but they are fornicators. Because they don't pursue to lay hold on God. The men that touch God, their life is ironed to stand consistent with the dictates and laws of Zion. What have you seen in the spirit? The Bible said in 1 Kings 19, from verse 12 to 14, Elijah said, "I am very vexed for the Lord God of hosts, for the people have defied your name. They have put down thy off altar. They have slain thy prophet. I'm the only one left." And God said, "Go and stand in Horeb and wait." And the Bible made a statement. He said, God moved and came. He said, and an earthquake, a wind passed, but God was not in the wind. An earthquake came, God was not in the earthquake. Fire came, God was not in the fire. Elijah was not distracted because he saw things in the spirit. He waited for the voice of God. So we say alignment is achieved when you have met God in the spirit. And until you see him, you can't be transformed. He said, as we behold, we are changed. So when you see a man preaching but walking like a mortal man, he has not seen the Lord. He may have seen angels, He may have seen light in the spirit, but he has not seen the Lord. Because when we see him, we are changed into his likeness. And after defining alignment, we went further to let us understand that alignment is not a function or a reality that you carry out in the flesh. Every reality in the spirit is regulated by the governor of the realm. His name is called the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that orchestrates every spiritual encounter, every spiritual possibilities is orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So we said, how does the Holy Ghost activate the sequence and the protocol of alignment? We said the first thing he does is that he quickens you with hunger. A lot are not taught, so they deplete spiritual hunger. You go for a meeting, you hear, and you are set on fire. And for 3 days you are burning for God. But you came home, you did not know that that thing that was released into you is supposed to germinate into the fullness of God on your inside until it drives you into the center of your reality. So they think it's just about a sensation. As they go for meeting, they jump and fall down and they roll on the floor and they think it has ended. The impact of the meeting begins after the meeting. The hunger that the Holy Ghost furnishes in your spirit is what you carry from the meeting, and wise men guide it like egg. You catch a fire from a meeting, it is your responsibility to keep it. In Leviticus 6:12, he said the fire on the altar must not be put out. He said the priest must put wood on it every morning. What do you do with the hunger you have? We said hunger is a precursor of spiritual alignment. We went further to say desire for God is a precursor for spiritual alignment. Most of us gave our heart to Christ and everything was Jesus. But as we began to pursue God, after some time, our ambition became power. Our ambition became word of knowledge. Our ambition became a show on the altar. We miss that which was the definition of our reality, our first love for God, that informed our motivation, our commitment, and everything we did. We lose them. And that's why after some time, as we grow and become mighty, the God factor is no longer in us. When the guy was growing in God, he was humble. Everybody that comes was a brother. But now, he has become an apostle. So suddenly, humility vanishes from his operating system. He doesn't know what has happened. His desire for God has shifted, so he doesn't see God anymore. It is only the possibilities of power that regulates his thinking process. So he begins to think all of a sudden that he's better than the other brother. Why? Because he lost his desire for God. They are precursors of alignment. What makes a man to stand right with God is what we are talking about. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, but cry out, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. Why do we reiterate this fact? Because we need to have a paradigm shift in your life. Most of you are prayer warriors, but you don't look like God. Most of you are men of wonder. You don't look like God. If you begin to chant here, the whole place will be on fire. But when we meet you in the hostel, you are a prince of patience. You begin to chant, everywhere is on fire. But in the night, you are a different person. Most people carry plagues in their heart. The guy is masturbating for 5 years. Why can he not be killed? Is he not the guy that sins and everywhere is shaking? What is the problem? There is no alignment in his constitution. Most of you, in 10 minutes, you can quote 70 scriptures. If they say Lord, pa, 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 you have quoted 10 scriptures on Lord. They say righteousness, you have quoted 15 scriptures. But when we check your life, you are a far cry from the things you quote. And when the priests come to check, they check your life. They don't check what you say. Jesus said, the prince of this world, come to me. He didn't say, come to my doctrine. He didn't say, come to my knowledge. He come to me, and he findeth nothing. I told you that East is littered with forces. The force of religion, the force of pleasure, and the force of lust, pride, and the traditions of men. For God to break it, men must travel into the womb of the Spirit. Else, we will scream revival, and we will make a charade of what God wants to do. The church in Corinthians, they had mastered how to move in gifts. They knew all the teachings of Paul and Apollos. But Paul came, and when he deciphered the condition of the church, he said, are ye not babes? Are ye not carnal? Everybody talking revival, demonstrating gifts of the Spirit, but the weight of the glory of God is not in the landscape. There's got to be a paradigm shift. So when you interact with the Holy Spirit, the emphasis should be to the degree of your transformation, not the degree to which you know the doctrine. The doctrine is important. It's a boundary that guides our heritage in God. But what will affect our world is the degree of transformation in our lives. The precursors of life. And the third thing we look at, we call it the quickening spirit. Many people, once and again, they receive quickenings. But when God quickens them, they diffuse it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, he said, quench not the spirit. God stirs something on their inside. They can't manage it. But the psalmist was wise. That's why he never lost warfare. He fought 44 battles. He won all of them. Because he knew the technology of quickening. So in Psalm 80 verse 18, he said, quicken us, O God, so that we may call upon your name. He said that we may not draw back from you. Quicken us. So he knew to walk with God, man need to be continually quickened. Many are quickened, but they waste it. They are precursors of alignment. And I said, repentance is a precursor of alignment. Sometimes when the Holy Ghost wants to bring you, then he reveals the dimensions of God's holiness. That was what Isaiah saw. He said, woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. He saw something in the spirit. And when you repent, the Bible said, times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Father. These were the things we tried to establish. What alignment is, and what the precursors of alignment are. So that as you leave the meeting, every time it begins to happen, you will know how to manage it. When you catch fire, you know what to do. I told you how pathetic it is. Some people waste their fire on Facebook. As petty as Facebook is, you go online, the Holy Ghost say, no, no. You lose your peace, but you stay there. Then the point comes when the Holy Ghost doesn't trouble you anymore. At that time, something has happened to you. The Holy Ghost checking signal your soul is withdrawn. And a point will come, you continue like that, the Holy Ghost will never be bothered to trouble you anymore. Because he said, my spirit will not continue to strive with man. In Romans 1:20, he said, because they retain not God in their knowledge, he gave them away to a reprobate mind, diverse lust, where anything goes. At first, the Holy Ghost was troubling you for just logging onto Facebook. But now, you are dating people online, and the Holy Ghost doesn't bother about you anymore. You have begun to die. But in order to retrace your step, for such people, repentance is the key. When you are broken, then God releases fire afresh. These are some of the secrets that people carry in their heart. They will not tell you. I told you in the morning, you see somebody praying, what? Then you say, God, what body is this? Give me Brother Magnus's body. Don't pray like that. Because Brother Magnus may be praying because masturbation has enslaved him. So the button that activated that prayer is masturbation. What you do is tend the fire that is in your spirit. Tend the fire that is in your spirit. That is what should inform alignment. Is there a hunger, a zeal for the Lord? Tend it. In John 2:17, it said concerning Jesus, that zeal of my Father's house have consumed me. Jesus knew how to manage it. Tend the desire for God. Never let it die. Always repent every time the Holy Ghost reveals a thought, and you will find yourself basking continually in alignment. Tonight, in the next 10 minutes, I want to show us the laws of alignment. That's what I call the protocol of alignment. What are the laws that govern the patterns of God in the life of a man? There is no spiritual reality that operates without a law. Everything that finds expression is not in us is calculated into eternal life. And eternal life works by law. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, now therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. The question is, how do men walk after the spirit? It's a law. It's not a knowing, it's a law. Because in verse 2, he said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ have set me free from the law of sin and death. Walking in the flesh is death. Walking in the spirit is life. But for life to be maximized in a vessel, there is a law of life that you must commit. These laws are intrinsic spiritual possibilities and operations. Many don't understand it. So they cry to men of God to help them. No man of God can help you. The help you receive from a man of God is the operation of the Holy Ghost through him. And if you cannot maximize the operation of the Holy Ghost in you, even if a man of God helped you, he has set you up. Did you not read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 and 44? Jesus said, if an evil spirit is gone out of a man, that's the help of the man of God. He cast out the demon of masturbation. He cast out the demon of pornography. He said, that spirit will move about in dry places. He said, having no place to dwell, he will return when the man of God is no longer with you. He said he will return to where it was cast from. He will find the place kept clean and garnished. But if it is empty, he said, he will go and bring seven more wicked demons. And he said, worse will be the case of that one than the beginning. That's why most of you go for deliverance and after 3 months you become worse. You were masturbating, now you are fornicating. And then now you are into lesbianism. You don't know what is happening. You have not taken responsibility for your life. Paul said to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, from verse 13 to verse 16, he said, my son, attend. Pay attention. Pay attention. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. That do not despise the gifts that were placed on you by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. The whole presbytery have laid hands on this man, but Paul is telling him to do something. At some point he said, fan to flame the gift of God that is in thee. If you see Apostle Paul now, he lays hands on you, you will tell the whole world. But that you saw Apostle Paul and he lays hands on you will not make you anybody. Because the one that was with Paul in the flesh, when he transferred his heritage to him, he told him to walk and be responsible to what he received. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 2, he said, the things that you have received from me. Paul knew that Timothy had received what he carried. He said, the same faithful men. Before he came to a point where he was a custodian of those dimensions, having the ability to communicate it, he told him to take responsibility. It's called the law of alignment. The first law of alignment is the law of the secret place. If you see a man that does not have a secret place, that's somebody who is already expiring. Men are not tanks of power. Men are conductors of power. The Bible called it the manifestation of the Spirit. It's called the charisma of the Spirit. Every dimension of God flowing through you today is actually flowing through you. You will think you have it for keeps until your connection with the Holy Ghost is cut off. That's why, like Samson, you will shake yourself as at other time. Then you discover it's not about muscle, it's the flow of God. Many despise the law of the secret place. The law of the secret place is broken down into four. The first law is the law of waiting. After you pray and you have journeyed from the ambience of naturality and you have begun to sense the supernatural ambience, it's time to wait. The reason many are weak, the reason many cannot manifest the dimensions of God. Listen, when I talk about the manifestation of the dimensions of God, I'm not just talking about the gift of the Spirit. I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit as well. The reason many are weak in the face of immorality, they are weak in the face of pride, they are weak in the face of integrity, is because they don't know how to absorb energy from God. The energy of God is deposited in men that wait. They stay in the presence. They make the presence of God a perpetual habitation. I just read a scripture. It says, have you not heard? Isaiah 40:28. Has he not been told to you, the everlasting God fainteth not? What makes the man? Because he said, even the youth shall be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. What made the man of weakness suddenly sustain the capacity of the divine? He said, they that wait upon the Lord. Many cannot wait. Waiting on the Lord entails being still in his presence. He said, be still and you will know the salvation of God. Every area of weakness has a cure. It's called the presence. But you need to wait until God saturates you. Many can't wait. He said, when they wait, something happens to them. Then they begin to mount up with wings. God begin to bring them to high place where the frailty of mortality never exists. That's when a man becomes like God. Because they have mounted up, suddenly, he said, these men begin to run. They no longer fail. They walk. They are no longer weak. What has happened to them? The economy of waiting. The patriarchs, they are masters of waiting. They are masters. When you see men of God, and they are scarce, it's not a show. It's not a bid to be scarce so it can be relevant. Because everything we do, we are able to do it because we wait. If you don't wait, you will be an orator. You will have no utterance. You will be a teacher, but you cannot communicate virtue. You will be a talker. There will be no supernatural dimension. Man is like the moon that absorbs energy from the sun. These are the laws that make the life of God work through a man. There is nobody that is special. Everybody is subscribing to a law. The moment you subscribe to the law of waiting, dispensing the dimensions of God becomes natural. The first time I saw a plane, I wonder, how can this heavy metal object float in the wind. How is it possible? A metal object as heavy. There are planes that weigh 80,000 kg. The Space Force, the Airbus that you see, the Boeing aircraft, some of them weigh as much as 80,000. How can this object float in the wind? And then I researched about the plane. And then I saw the law of aerodynamics. A plane doesn't fly because it's a plane. A plane flies because he obeys the law of aerodynamics. If he loses the ability to operate by the law of aerodynamics, he ceases to fly. Because it's on earth, the law of universal gravitation will ensure it is kept there. So the plane is not just limited. There is a law that is ensuring that it can never fly. But for the plane to fly, it needs to subscribe to a higher law. When you see a righteous man, he is subscribing to a law. The Bible said concerning Jesus in Romans 1 verse 3 and 4. He said he was declared to be the seed of Jacob, David, by the resurrection from the dead. But there was something at work in him. He said the spirit of holiness. So Jesus did not manifest holiness because he was a disciplined fellow. There was a spirit. He subscribed to a law. The plane, as heavy as it is, if it is able to hit a velocity of 285 meters per second, it can't stay on ground anymore. The job of the engine is to put that plane on a velocity. If the plane can reach a velocity of 285 kilometers per hour, there is no way it can stay on ground. If it stay on ground, it will scatter. It will dematerialize. That law ensures that the plane don't stay on the ground anymore. At that point, the pilot engages the law of lift. The plane is willing to fly. It's a law. It's a law. That's when the forces of aerodynamics begins to work. The force of lift, the force of thrust, the force of weight, and the force of the thrust. These four forces, they keep the plane flying, but the law of aerodynamics must first be activated. You want to walk in the dimensions of God, you must obey the law of weight. If you are too anxious in God's presence, there is no heritage for you. You can quote all the promises of scripture, but you will never experience it. Alignment is governed by the law of weight. The law of waiting is one of the laws of the secret place. Any man who waits is a high flyer. I love Bishop Oyedepo so much. The way the scriptures fly out of him. I thought it was about reading and quoting. So in those earlier days, I will gather his messages, hear them, I'll pick from this pick, and create my own sermon. And then I'll come, I'll be firing the scriptures. Bah, 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 bah. Nobody was transformed. And I'll say, what is this? And I heard a friend said something. He said, if you want to know the secret of men, read their stories. So as I listened to his messages, I began to pay attention to his stories. And I will hear Bishop Oedipo say, he go to a mountain to read a book with 3 days of prayer and fasting. So it's not about retaining the knowledge. There is something he does. And after reading, with fasting for 3 days, then he will say, then he caught one scripture. You read the whole book. It's only one scripture you saw. No wonder every time they speak, there is power. I told you how these things work. Paul said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 1:17 and 18, may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. But for that thing to work, he said there must be illumination. The eyes of your understanding should be enlightened. That's when the spirit of wisdom and revelation profits. When the fortissimo dimension is activated, illumination comes because men wait. There are many Christians who wait on God. They can go and wait on a prophet for 3 weeks for that prophet to come and walk like this.
say, God wants to use you. Go now and manifest. And then the person will go motivated. Motivation don't move spirits.
When you move the word of knowledge, you broke through the dark cloud into the realm of light. Motivation has no power to do that. When you pray for the sick and they are healed, you have dealt with a demon. Motivations don't do that. You must learn the culture of waiting. It's one of the laws of the secret place. The second law of the secret place is the law of prayer.
Many go to stay with God and they lie down and sleep for 4 hours and they wake up. And then they come out with sleep on their face. And then they say, oh boy, today, man.
Waiting on God imparts his nature. But praying in the spirit activates manifestation. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 6, he said, those that seek the Father in prayer in secret, he said, he rewards publicly. When you see a man doing wonders, prayer is not far from his lifestyle. The law of prayer. Read the whole Bible and cram everything. At best, you become an intelligent theologian. And the best theologians nowadays are atheists and Muslims. They are like concordants. When you call three walls, they will tell you everywhere it is in the Bible. And then sometimes, when they want to argue with you, they will quote the Bible in Hebrew. When you talk, then they will quote the verse you are quoting in Hebrew. And tell you first that the words you are using, they are out of context. They will school you first in homiletics. And show you that your interpretation is wrong. Go and learn proper interpretation before you come. But when you say, is Jesus the Lord of your life? They will say, no, Jesus is a prophet. So revelation is different from knowledge. The word is epignosis. We pray so that we can enter into hallowed chambers. If you don't make prayer, secret prayer, a lifestyle, you will never take root in the spirit. I know the place of fellowship is very important, but there is a place of oneness through prayer. Many don't have it.
You see some people leading prayer in fellowship, we call them men of prayer. They are not. They are prayer leaders. A man of prayer is not a man that can lead the church to pray. A man of prayer is a man that prayer has become his operating system. Did you read about Jesus? The Bible said a great while in the morning. Mark 1:35. He will go to a solitary place to pray. That time the apostles are still snoring. And when they come to him, they will say, the multitude are waiting. And Jesus will go. Every time you hear that he was on the mountain, what does he do on the mountain? He's not talking with birds. He's praying. In Matthew chapter 8 verse 1, he said as he came down from the mountain, he saw a paralytic and he touched him and he was healed. And in verse 16, he said when the evening was come, they brought all that were sick and they touched him and virtue went out of him and healed them all, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Himself took away our infirmities. There are many men of faith who do not have virtue. They don't pray. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But that alone is not enough. Luke 6:19, he said they touched him and virtue went out of him. We generate virtue in the place of prayer. Faith activates, virtue flows. So if you have faith, because you have revelation, you don't pray, you will be shocked. Jesus, the Bible called the word of God. And faith, the faith you and I have, is called the faith of the Son of God. is the faith of Jesus you and I are borrowing to use. But the same Jesus who is the owner of that faith, there were things he did to make sure that virtue flowed out of him. It's called prayer. Many don't pray. I don't want to go too far because I'll begin to talk about altars and priesthood, and then I will lose my line of thought. You are mighty on your throne. Today I don't want to preach, let the place scatter. I want to show you things that you will engage every day of your life so that there will be a paradigm shift. You want to see a man who will be continually relevant in God? It's a man of the secret place. What connects you between one move of God and another are the altars that you build. That's why you see some men shine today, they are not there tomorrow. I told you, seasons bring about visitation. Ordinations bring about dimensions of God flowing through you. But to be consistently relevant, the line that connects is the line of the secret place. Kenneth Hagin was relevant for three different dispensations of the move of God. He was a man of the secret place. Daniel was relevant to four kings in Babylon. According to Bible history, he was relevant for 65 years because he's a man of prayer. The Bible said in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, he said he opened the window and prayed 3 times a day as his custom was. So for Daniel, prayer is the same way he lives his life every day. If he has not prayed, then breath is no longer on his nostrils. That's why he stayed continually relevant. You can be singing today and everybody is falling and everybody is shouting your name. If you want your name to be heard in the next 10 years, you better go and dust your altar and allow the fire to burn. Prayer is the key. Reverend Chris Akilome said, prayer is difficult, but he said it is the only way. Instead of me to come for a meeting and say, Holy Ghost, touch, Holy Ghost, touch. Some people will shout 50 times. And everybody's like this. Sometimes they're even motivating the man of God and doing like this. But the power, there's no virtue. For me to struggle in the meeting, I rather struggle in prayer until I break through. Because if I break through in prayer, when I come for the meeting, it's a child's play. That's why Jesus dwelt on the mountain. When he came down, he spent less than a second. The deaf ear comes, say open. The blind comes, say open. Then the apostles thought it was about open. Somebody now brought the child that was demon possessed in Matthew 17, and they came like this. you don't understand. There was a day when I preached until I became rusty. So I went for the meeting. I told my friend to preach. When he preached, I came up. I said, this is the time of power. And then I stood like this. Because the plain sound that stirred my spirit. And usually, when my spirit is there, there are movements in my body. And when I sense those movements, I say, oh my God, my angels have come. Because when I encountered them, they were the signs they gave me. I said, my angels have come. I said, this left rope, let me begin here. God wants to do something. And I said, I stretched my hand. That was the day I stretched hand until my hand became like the rod of Moses. There was no transfer of virtue. I realized it had nothing to do with sensation. I realized it had nothing to do with the words we even speak. It's the virtue that flows from us. When people are falling, they are not psyched. They are overwhelmed by the virtue, the intensity of virtue that is flowing through you. But we generate it in prayer. If prayer is not part of your life, then death has set a protocol on your spirit man. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lamb.
Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. The third law of the secret place is the law of consistency. We also call it the law of routine. The secret place.
Oh. If you see a man of God that does not have a routine life, he's not a man that is able to hold spiritual dimension. When you live with a man of God, you see him doing the same thing around the clock every day. That's where his secret lies. For Jesus, in Mark 1:35, he said a great while in the morning, he went to a secret place. For Daniel 6:10, he said he prayed 3 times a day as his custom was. Did I tell you about the growth of Daniel? Once upon a time, the king had a dream and he called for Daniel to interpret. And Daniel said, give us time. He said, there is a God that reveals secrets. At this time, the quota of time spent in the secret place is not yet enough. So in dealing with men, he needs time. And he will go and pray and receive answer. But a time came when Daniel had filled the heavens with water. So when the king called him again, he didn't need time anymore. He said, this is the dream that you have had, and this is the interpretation thereof. He said, the great tree that you saw, that is your kingdom. It reached the heights of the heaven, and the winds touched the ends of the earth. He said, but you stood and you spake, and you said, my hand has done this. He said, therefore your heart will be taken from you, and the heart of the beast be given to you, and you will dwell among the beasts for 7 years. That time he doesn't need to go and pray. Something has happened. I heard that in Air Force, you have to spend 10,000 hours in the air before you become a captain. You have gained spiritual stature and experience because it's a routine. What do you do every morning? If we cannot predict what you do every morning, every afternoon, and every evening, it means your life does not have stability. The proof of stability is consistency. He said in Isaiah 33 verse 6, he said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. Many don't have consistency in their walk with God. Today, they have 2 days of fire. And then they are speaking in tongues for 48 hours. And then they go on break for 3 weeks. And then they come back after 4 weeks. And they go another 2. You are a joker. You don't grow because you carry a basin of food and eat it today. And you eat next 2 weeks. You eat every day part time. I'm a PhD student. I'm studying physical chemistry. I understand the law of electromagnetic radiation. I'm a major of quantum mechanics. I know how light works. An electron will remain at one energy level unless it resists absorption to be excited to the next energy level. You stay there until light comes from heaven. Else you cannot move with God. Many don't understand. Your consistency, first of all, will give you the capacity to keep what you have received from God. And that is what will determine your availability in the day of visitation. If an electron's energy is not quantized at an energy level, according to the law of classical physics, as it moves in an occipital movement, it will dispense energy and the electron will collapse. The reason the electron does not collapse is because the energy is quantized at an energy level. Consistency is what keeps the grace of God in your life at a level, and then it's what determines your availability in the day of visitation. Many are not consistent, so God cannot commit hallowed things to their hands. When you see a man operating certain dimension, what his life is dwelling on, that dimension is resting on consistency. Every day you see Reverend Chris walk into the stadium and people are rising from wheelchair. Every day he comes out like that, he comes out as a dead man. Because in spiritual realities, yesterday is not a guarantee for today. It is consistency that will make you host what you hosted yesterday today. You see, Apostle Samuel comes to speak and he's fresh every day. You think he has the gift of utterance, the gift of exhortation. So if it, before we came here, we prayed in tongues today for 3 hours after the morning session. The morning session, this place was on fire. We couldn't even contain it. But we wouldn't come back in the evening and say, we have the garment of power. You will be surprised. I assure you, an unpleasant surprise awaits you. That's how it works. Many people think spiritual things is automatic. You were not well taught. Every dimension a man hosts and manifests perpetually is a dimension that is registered on the altar of consistency. And the last law of the secret place is the law of discipline. Many times your flesh will come and you'll be weak. And that's why spirituality is a journey beyond sensation. You'll be praying even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel it, you will be praying. You will keep praying. That's why I said the just shall live by faith. Faith is a form of discipline. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Romans 1:17. Galatians 6:11. He said the just shall live by faith. He said we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Not by sight. We sustain a perpetual discipline. The presence, so that we can able to sustain that which the Lord has given to us. There are many who cannot sustain it. Time is a burden. There are 7 laws of alignment. I've just touched 1 law, the law of the secret place, and time is gone. When are we supposed to close tonight? Because I want us to pray. Tonight is not a background. I want even those who are coming today for the first time to have an understanding. There's already so much prayer in the East, but we need men of understanding. That's why teaching priests must arise, that we bring the emphasis of God by time, so that the people of God will understand the mind of the Father. When are we closing? I have 7 laws here. Can I touch the second one? Are you learning something? You know, tonight, my friend Victor Obey will use prayer to invoke power. That's why you see me gallivanting like this. When I was talking in the morning, at the point, the whole matter, because I knew that my soul needed to enter the heavens. But now I can play. Because when I finish playing, I'll give him the mic. He will labor in prayer. Alright, let me just mention as well. Let me mention the second law. The law of spiritual connectivity. There are people that if you are not connected to, you will never stand. I know pride will not let somebody. You know, in the days of Paul, if I was a pastor in Ephesus, in Colossus, I would stand up and say, man, this my teaching, the work. Yeah, by the grace of God, I've been able to disciple my people and they are standing. It's until I enter heaven and God will point to me that the reason the church in Ephesus is standing is because of a man called Epaphras. In Colossians 4:12, he said, Epaphras, who is one of you, a born servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What makes a man stand? What makes a man stand is the revelation of the word of God. 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Is that 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? 3:16 and 17. The Bible said every scripture is given by the inspiration of God It is given for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God will be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That means it's the word of God that makes a man stand. But here is a church that is standing, not because of the teaching in the church, but because somebody is connected to them by prayer. And the Bible said his prayer generated the same thing that the word of God has the power to generate. Because they are connected to Epaphras, they are standing. In Galatians 4:19, Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail again in prayers, until Christ be formed in you. I told you my story in the morning. This part I was gathered here. There were many times God appeared to me as a tender age. I saw the visions of heaven as a boy. But I said I will not preach the gospel, because every pastor I saw did not inspire me. They were specialists of big trousers and very wide coat. And then they walk like this. Then when they come, they cannot tell you anything about God to inspire you. They keep threatening everybody. You will go to hell. You will go to hell. So what nonsense is this? What is this? Do you think the people in the world are not aware of hellfire? I was not inspired. I was walking on the street, I would say, I will not. Because my seasons were coming and passing, and the Holy Ghost was petrol. Troubling this young lad, but I say, I will not preach the gospel. But God had appeared to my mom and told her, I will use your son. Because she was a seer. But she married the wrong person. Those of you who are marrying men because of car, you marry and you will lose your calling. You see, the guy has big shoulder. The day he will use that shoulder to trap your head. That big shoulder you are bearing. Ah, this guy is his physique. The day that physique will hit your jaw, you will lose two teeth. At the age of 30, it won't grow again. She could not fulfill her call because she married a man who did not fear the Lord. But God told her, he said, the calling I've given you, I will put it on this, your son. So when she was pregnant with me, she had an encounter. I say, I will not. As a child, she will call me, say, read the Bible for me. Why will I read the Bible? I want to go and play football. What do you mean? Those days, it was as if the love of football was injected into our blood. When it's evening already, you are shaking like this. That is when this woman will come and say, read the Bible for me. I see nothing provoked rage in me like that instruction she gave me. I will rake. She will say, she will insist. I didn't know she was training me how to use my tools. Because she knew that someday the covenant she entered with God will find me. Hope you know, Jacob was a supplanter. Full of wisdom, manipulating everybody. The day he fell on the altar that his father built, that day he was implicated forever. The angel rescued him from mighty morning. God is not a breaker of men. God is the maker of men. But when ordinations are involved, God can break you so that he can use you. He said he touched the sky bone. And when the guy leaned on the staff, that was when his flesh was defeated. I was like Jacob. Say, as a prince, thou have power with God. I was gathered to this path. My mom forced me into this path by prayer. She prayed me into this call. I couldn't fight it because those matters were established and perfected in the heavens. When she died, I was in 300 level. I agreed to answer the call in 2006. Began to pursue God, doing programs here and there. We pioneered a work we called NKGC. But when my mom died in 2010, I said, can. Christianity is a lie. Because I saw a woman who prayed every night. How can she die in the hospital? I could couldn't rationalize. And I said, can we become a backbone? I didn't know at that time that I generated spiritual energy to give implication to the words that I speak. And in 1 year, all the clubs in Makodi, we danced in it. The day I held the lady, and I wanted to go home with the lady, my friends say, hey, oh boy, this guy, you don't mature. Now your liver don't come. Suddenly people accepted to pay for the hotel, accepted to buy drinks, everything. Suddenly, favor began to speak in my direction. Because Satan was involved. And we completed everything. They paid the lady on my behalf. As I turned, suddenly a light came out of the wall. And he said, the wages of sin is dead. Not everybody went to a club and carried the lady and left her. But there was prayer. There were covenants that was made on my behalf. So those covenants began to speak because prayer had gone up. It's the law of connectivity. She didn't pray for everybody like that. She prayed for me because I am a son. Her calling was transferred to me because I am a son. I am standing today because I'm connected to her. I told you how the Lord carried me in the spirit. In the place of prayer, a hand entered my room and put me out of the house. And I found myself in the room. And I saw a man, Reverend Prince Oyakhilome, at the age of 17. When he was 17, I was not yet born. I traveled back in time, in my physical body. And I stood in his room. And God said, see how men are made in the kingdom. That was when God taught me 25 things that Reverend Prince did that made him manifest in the brightest colors that I saw as an adult. They do likewise, and I will make you like him. I ran to Christ Embassy in the flesh. I thought it was about doctrine. When they taught me all the foundations, God said, now move. That was when he led me to Apostle Aaron Osar. And Apostle began to teach me the tools of ordination. Because those days he will say, go and represent me. How will I represent Apostle Aaron Osar? A man that speaks like a god. But he was teaching me the organic dimension of my calling. You must be connected to a man to stand. For Joseph, the Bible said he met a certain man. For Abraham, he met Melchizedek. For Jesus, he met John. You must meet a man. Destiny will lead you to somebody. And on the strength of your fraternity with that man, you will stand. It's called the law of connectivity. Virtue is transferred and is transferable from one man to another. In the law of connectivity, there is also the law of the corporate life. There are men who stand because they belong to a corporate family. When you are detached, you will be shocked. You think you are strong until you went for NYSE. And you were in the camp. And in 21 days, many are this flower. 21 days. When you go to the NYSE camp, you will see strangers. Some fellowship leaders in the NYSE camp, they are this flower. Because they didn't understand that the assembly where they belong to, it furnished them with strength. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 10:25, he said, do not despise the fellowship of the brethren, as is the custom of some. In Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3, he said, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the oil dripping from the head of Aaron through his beard down to his head. That means in the corporate assembly, what the man at the head is feeling, the one at the edge of the skirt will also feel it. It's called corporate alignment. You stay fused and dimensions rub off. It's the iron sharpened iron as a man, the countenance of his friend. Connectivity is the law of
of alignment.
We are out of time. We are out of time. I want us to pray and stretch in prayer. There are certain things we don't teach cognitively. They are transferred as a body of spirit. We have opened the vent. As we begin to pray, the energy and the life force of alignment will begin to enter people. Because the first thing the Holy Ghost is doing tonight, is going to be doing tonight, is to break yokes. That deliverance power of God will hit this building. Many of you that are in secret sins and addictions, that power will be broken this night. My duty is going to be running commentary. As we pray, when we ascend, I will tell you what God is doing, and we will release it, and the power will be communicated. And at a point where we hit the crescendo, when Mahanaim is achieved, when oneness is achieved in the spirit, then I will beckon to my elder brother to help us touch some people as he's led. Just touch, and things will happen. But I tell you, the impact of this meeting in your life will be felt after the meeting. You will be shocked. It's not a revival campaign. So, in the morning, I didn't know how the Holy Ghost went ahead of me. But it's a campaign of perspective. Tonight, may the keyboardist is in the spirit. He has gone ahead. God, Samuel, can you cover us with an envelope of your dimension? You see, I was teaching in Nineveh last week, and I showed them the four winds of revival. I'm coming back to your campus on Friday for your JCCB convention. When I come back on Friday, I will keep this ground as a revivalist. You will see the four dimensions of Christians that survive in the revival. But today I want to call my friend. This man is a Mustang. The horse that is called the Mustang is the only horse that runs through fire. They are horses that cannot be tamed. When they begin to roar, the angels that walk, they are militants. See, there are some angels God don't release unless there is warfare. Because if they come, there will be crisis. If they are walking with you and you disalign, they will strike you. They are Mustangs. They are keepers of the jealousy of God. This one is not an ordinary intercessor. It's a Mustang. You want to pray now? Rise up to your feet. Because we are about to enter another phase.
Jesus, glory to you, Father. Can you ask the Holy Ghost to quicken you tonight? The Bible says it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. No man does these things by his own strength. It is the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls him the quickening spirit. If he quickens you, you will be surprised the depth and the speed with which you will travel. And tonight, we want to travel. We want to defy the law of gravity and activate the laws of aerodynamics. Because there are certain things that must break up people's life today. All the influence of gravity should break. Can you lift up your voice now and begin to talk to the Father? That he will look upon you tonight with mercy. That he will show us the brilliance of his grace, the essence of his reality, the power of his glory. Can you lift up your voice? Epi atoke elite in the hoga. Yadoma sela hida. Rada makosi zihile. Rite ketenatus.
Estepeli ata hogi eruto barahate iga banana kande halagabane osepente lemenato ratato sesina toge eleke tela hida asoteta menatonge raito beniklida aita lega manane kora hina gada ebaratona jasina na hone ratata manakaba nitaho masiliete aito aita hale Baraha Eside Rato Neno Esideto Embreheto Aido Brani Lycopodia Aila Koba Aite Nelehera Oadon Beriato Rapagonde Zide Elira Baratoni Agabani Oba ya 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 Oba Tetetelia Eka Bariata Taliata Egede There was a man who has capacity to take 10 cities for the Lord. His capacity was that big to conquer 10 cities for the Lord. But for this man, there was a stone that the devil has placed in his hand. There was a stone that has shut him out of his destiny. Jesus had to travel through the sea to locate the man because of the weight of what he has put in him. And tonight, Jesus will leap over the mountains. He will come through the rivers. He will go through places just to bring men out to fulfill ordination. Is there anybody here tonight who has come under the influence of darkness? Whose hand the devil has placed a stone? Can you submit the stone at the feet of the master? Then into the borders of the campus. They enter another territory and came under the influence of another government. And then strange appetite begins to find the expression. I don't know what the case is, but tonight I want us to rebel against the influence of darkness. Anyone under the sound of our voice, come under automatic insurance. I live at Ike Bogatia Shatene Imparatoglia Taga. Ah, can you lift up your voice and say, until something that blur his vision was taken away? The Bible says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. What happened? Why did he see the Lord before he was commissioned into prophetic ministry? There was a God in his physical eyes that had blurred his vision from seeing the Almighty God. And it takes the taking away of Uzziah before Isaiah could truly encounter the true God. I don't know what has taken the place of the real God in your life, but whatsoever it is tonight, Adamba Kebala, Embrete Tenisi Zidilua, Erote Katairo, Evatalike Yeko. We want to dethrone anything that must die in my life, in your life, so that you can see the real God. Let it die tonight. We want to pass the judgment of death over anyone, any person, any appetite that have taken the place of God in my life, such that I never ascend to the mountain where God has destined me to stand. Tonight, can you decree judgment? Can you rain the fire of judgment? Be it an appetite, be it a familiar faith, whatsoever that fight against the ordination of God in your life, Rabadash,
The ones with ordinations,
Holy Spirit. Yapatataratua. Rakapoas. Yenata. Baria. Wasafanata. Oborete kai. Fire of the Holy Ghost. There are new sets of evangelists that the Lord wants to anoint now. I behold in the spirit, and I see a flame of fire. And the Lord said, it's an evangelical fire. Yamatatash, Rakapanash, Zetetanita, Bariana, Bariana, precious Holy Spirit. Right now I ask, as the mouthpiece in this meeting, I said, let the fire begin to fall. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, we are the evangelists. Father, set them on fire. Yeli Kabash, can you pray in tongues in 1 minute? Something is stirring. Something is stirring.
Arito Kadego.
There's a fire stirring.
Robo do Baraya. Ikekeke telekeoria. Ligoro de Sinai. Ridia do Rio. Aieta ta 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 Baraya. Esupia pega. Rababo. Emkatole duritano. Ligi Barutemoa, Andrew Togazita, Esetena, Esidi, Radiata, Opotogia, Yeto, Ponte Tarua, Ekatwa, Likopo, Eperdiaka, Segepono,
Kadawansa,
Poka, Epa, Pakua, Kaka, Epeto, Ailo, Ite, Kara, Yeke.
For your glory. Fire. Holy fire. Popping upon my altar. From within me. Spirit come take over. Holy fire. Burn upon my altar. Evangelists. With fiery flames. Set power, brother. Fire of God. Fire! Evangelist! Flames! Holy fire! On my altar! Flames of
fire! Fire!
Burn upon my altar! Touch them!
From within!
I set you on fire! I set you on fire!
Holy fire!
Burn upon my altar! Holy fire! Holy fire,
burn, burn,
burn,
burn on Jesus,
burn on Jesus,
fire,
the holy fire, fresh fire,
holy fire,
fresh fire,
burn upon
fresh
fire,
burn for Jesus,
holy fire.
Listen,
listen.
I see a measure of the spirit that is coming to this building. Men of courage. Men of courage that can challenge status quo. God is about to give a strength, courage to militants who will challenge status quo. And in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, Holy Spirit, give them the courage of the Spirit. Receive fire. Receive fire. Receive fire. Receive fire. Receive fire. Receive fire. Lies of courage. Bella la ta ta ta.
I hear the speech. The Lord says, He's commissioning someone tonight. He told you that by the month of June, there's a work you're about to begin for him. And tonight, the Lord says it's a commissioning night. If you are that person, run to the front very quickly. There's a commission. Mari tapas situas. Mamparaso ferapinas. Commission by the Holy Spirit. I set you on fire. Receive capacity to bear witness. Receive capacity. He said he's raising you to bring down altars. Altars. He said he's giving you authority to challenge altars. Where's that person? You are the one. Malatabash. Beriana Taboas. Rakabash. Felina Dash. I'm seeing the Lord raise a new altar of women. 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 Women in the spirit. Women in the spirit. Prophetic intercessors. Prophetic intercessors. Prophetic intercessors. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, set them on fire. Every woman here that is marked, every young lady that is marked, receive the fire. Receive the fire. Help them, ushers. Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Receive the fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Receive the fire. Parapapatanas. Hey. Hey. Yelene Tavodia Sibash. Rakidas. Parandarakaros. I've seen a young lady. Listen. I've seen a fair young lady, a bit choppy, fair young lady, a bit choppy. You used to see in the spirit, God spoke to you through vision, but you have lost it. You have lost it. Where are you? Run out quickly. Run out quickly. A fair young lady, a bit choppy. That's the vision I saw in the spirit. Holy Spirit, I open it. Manta Raka Boaz, I open it. Take in the name of Jesus. I'm seeing a young man. Listen, I'm seeing a young man. This guy is chocolate in complexion from my vision. You're about 24 years old. When you were 10, you had a vision of Jesus, and God told you you are a prophet. But right now, your visions don't have direction. Where is this person? Come quickly. There is grace. There is grace for you. Ayatatatata. Malekom resetia. Bele Thomas. Baratatas. Yata. Hey, ya Thomas. Hey, ya Thomas. Hey, ya Thomas. Thank you, Jesus. I've seen a dark lady in the spirit. A dark lady. This lady is about 22 years old. Your father is a pastor. Listen. Your father is a pastor. This person is studying a course like biochemistry. There's a call of God upon your life. You are a minstrel and you are a prophet. And the person I saw, your hair is not plaited. It's as if your hair is cut or something. Who is the person? Come. Let me pray with you quickly. Yeah, na. Yeah, na. Yeah. Listen. So many things are happening very fast. I want to be able to catch. I'm seeing somebody that the Lord is sending to the nations. In fact, three prophets. I've confirmed to you, three prophets. They told you
God will send you to the nations. To the nations. Right now, you don't need to come. This one, the Holy Ghost will activate you himself. As I pray, your feet will be set on fire. Eata. 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 Holy Spirit, set their feet on fire. Set their feet on fire. Set their feet on fire. Now. 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 Yarabadas. Valetete. Voronto sepladias. Have those who are under the power. Retete moria tash.
Everybody here that has a commissioning, stand here, don't worry. That has a commission of a healing ministry. Right now, Holy Spirit, as I minister to these two fellows, let the anointing rest on your palm. Your palm. Your palm. Fire. 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 Help them. Look at that. Your palm. Your palm. I put fire. I put fire. I put fire. I'm still seeing a young lady. That a young lady. Your father is a minister in the Anglican Commission. The Lord told you are a prophetess. But right now, you can't walk in your ordination. Come out. I don't have all the time. Come quickly, let me pray with you. Before I call my brother to release the blessings of God. The other one. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I stretch my hand in your direction and I release fire. I release fire. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. I activate your potential in the Spirit. I activate you in the Spirit. Take it. Baratatash. 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 Listen, the healing angels are here. I just saw pain left somebody's left knee. Left knee. Pain just left. Somebody's left knee. Just wave at me if you are the one. Pain just left somebody's left knee. And I want to pray now. Pain. No, I saw a left knee. But if pain left your knee, come. You don't even need to come. Just if pain leave your left knee. Anybody quickly come. Pain just left somebody's left knee. The angels have come. So I saw it in the spirit. Pain just left your left knee. Never to return. Never to return. Pain left you too. Never to return.
Lift your hands. Touch where you have infirmity. Is it blood disease? Whatever it is, place your hands there. If it's an organ infection, place your hand on your chest. They are about to be instant healings. Instant healings. Hey. Father, in the name of Jesus, lower the volume now. I want to challenge demons. There's about to be instant healing now. I command every infirmity, pains in the body, eye blinding demons, ear deafening spirits, joint conditions, bones condition, blood condition, organ infection, hear the word of the Lord. Right now, I charge you. I take authority over you. I command you out of their bodies. Out of their bodies. Every blinding infection, eye infection, I command it right now. Be healed.
Amen.
Every deafening infection, I command it. Be healed.
Amen.
I command every growth in the body, every body part, lumps in the breast, I command you right now. Dematerialize in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every infection, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, cataract, whatever it is called, I command you right now, let that chains on the eyes be broken.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every demonic energy that have held you down, right now I come in the name of the Lord. And I challenge you. Be broken. Be broken. Be broken. Be broken. In the name of Jesus.